Hare Krishna. I welcome all of our special guests and devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Today, Sri Radha Gopinath has blessed us with two confidential associates of Srila Prabhupada. And the connection between the two is quite historical and intimate. Shyam Sundar Prabhu was the first president of Bombay, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was through his efforts, his incredible genius idea of having a big scale preaching program for Prabhupada, first time in history, and how he promoted it. It was through that effort that His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj first came to meet Srila Prabhupada, as well as by myself and so many people. A few days ago, we went on a historical yatra of Bombay. We didn't go to the Gateway of India, but we went to the places of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful pastimes in the very early days, in which Shyam Sundar Prabhu was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary, at his side day and night. We went to the house of Mahadeva Kartikeya Mahadevya. By Krishna's will, he is no longer with us, but his son Kirtan was present. Hundreds of Srila Prabhupada's letters, if you see in his letter book, were written from the realm of Kartikeya Mahadevya. Prabhupada lived with that family for several months before they had any temple or any place to go. At that time, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he was Prabhupada's secretary. He was arranging similar letters of Srila Prabhupada with others, and he would take dictations from Prabhupada and personally type all of his letters. The family told us that they still had that typewriter. They brought out a typewriter. It was an old electrical typewriter, Smith Corona. You never see them. Even in the villages of India, you don't see such typewriters anymore. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, in the late 1960s and early 70s, carried that typewriter all around the world several times with Srila Prabhupada, typing all of his letters. Thousands and thousands of letters were written with that typewriter. Yes? He went to Moscow with the typewriter, to America with the typewriter, Africa too, Australia, all over India, Europe, England. When Shyam Sundar Prabhu saw that typewriter, he was in ecstatic. He was in ecstatic love. And the Kirtan Mahadeva said that Srila Prabhupada, before he left his house, sold the typewriter to his father. So there was a grand revival that I was allowed to witness with my own eyes, and Srinathri Prabhu was present, where Shyam Sundar Prabhu typed for the first time since 1973. He typed on that typewriter from 69, 68 to 73 years, he typed again a message. That was Srila Prabhupada's personal typewriter. Srinathji Prabhu, he offered Kirtan Mahadevna that I will give you a brand new state-of-the-art computer if you give me this old broken down typewriter in exchange. And the son of Kartikeya, Kirtan Mahadevya, replied that I will not give you this typewriter if you give me a 747 Boeing jet airplane. Yes? He understands what is actually valuable in this world. It's Prabhupada's Mahaprasad. We went to the house of Ramchandra Chabria, and Ramchandra Chabria, such a great soul. He was one of the most devoted personalities to help Srila Prabhupada in those early days. And he really helped with love in his heart. He met Prabhupada at John Lennon's estate in London and told him that I have a hotel called the Sea Palace Hotel, and whenever your devotees are in Bombay, they can stay there. For several months, the devotees occupied the rooms of his hotel for free. So when he saw Shamsundar Prabhu, it was like he was born again. He was just illuminated with happiness. And they were discussing the early days of Srila Prabhupada's mission here in India. Srila Prabhupada always wanted to go to Russia. But somehow, to penetrate the Iron Curtain of that communist regime was very difficult. So many devotees failed in their attempts. But when Shamsundar Prabhu was requested by Prabhupada, within one day he got all of his documents. But they had to leave for Russia within 3 days. That was the condition. So they went. While they was just on their way practically out, Prabhupada, or Shamsundar Prabhu, borrowed somebody's little camera and got one roll of black and white film. And every single photo of that film is in the historical archives of Srila Prabhupada's trip to Russia. And it was, although Prabhupada was preaching to some intellectual, there was no facility and no scope for him to preach to anyone else. But while Shamsundar Prabhu was out shopping, he happened to meet two young boys, one of them Russian, one of them Indian. And he brought them back to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada's preaching to them. That one boy actually planted the seed of a major spiritual revolution in the Soviet Union. Now it is the biggest yatra, the most successful preaching in all the world is in Russia. More centers, more devotees. What we have here for our Sunday program, they practically have every day for Bhagavatam class and Gita class. Yes? Almost. They're enthusiastic to hear. So Shamsundar Prabhu was an integral part. He was the only one who went to Russia with Srila Prabhupada. And in the early 1980s, under the communist regime, where Shamsundar Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada left off, His Holiness Srila Niranjan Maharaj, he came onto the scene. And he's been risking his life and his health and everything to preach in Moscow, in Siberia, and in various other places of Soviet Union, which he is for most all the year, for almost the last 20 years. So You are both integrally connected in your devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. Shamsundar Prabhu helped to establish the preaching, and Niranjan Maharaj has helped to pioneer and to expand it at the present and in the future. Let us once again welcome Shamsundar Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath. Srila Niranjan Swami Maharaj, one of the dearmost friends and God-brothers in my life, such a steady, loyal, faithful servant of Srila Prabhupada and all Vaishnavas, just a truly exemplary Vaishnava in every sense. His kirtans, his lectures, and his divine spiritual disposition are a great source of strength and enlightenment for all of us. We are very grateful he has come. Let us enthusiastically welcome to Sri Radha. Ekalavya Prabhu, you always get the last word. We would like to request Niranjan Maharaj to illuminate us with his great mercy.
Gyanati Varandasya Gyananjana Savakaya Chakshu Unvinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Girave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vacharam Pangam Nangayati Egarim Yakti Patamaham Vande Shri Garandina Taran Maam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Vutale Simate Bhakti Viranta Samitamani Namaste Sadaswate Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sanyavari Vastu Jali Satanade. I was thinking that I would chant a bhajan today and speak a little bit from it, but after hearing, I'm still will do it, but after hearing Maharaj's opening presentation, that made me think of, stimulated some thoughts in my mind about Shyama Sundar Prabhu's visit to Moscow in 1996. And it was the 25th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's mercifully placing his lotus feet in Moscow, and it was also a centennial celebration of Srila Prabhupada, so we had a very wonderful festival commemorating that event. And Shyama Sundar Prabhu very graciously agreed to accept our invitation to come take part in that event. And I can very sincerely say from the bottom of my heart, it was probably one of the most memorable events I think I've ever participated in. Shyama Sundar Prabhu gave such an eloquent talk to almost 2,000 devotees, and there was not a dry eye in the whole theater. It was just... It was amazing how he recounted his time with Srila Prabhupada, serving as Prabhupada's secretary. And it so nicely remembered each of the events, important events that were in his mind that took place during that short visit to Moscow. And then I could see how much of an overwhelming appreciation he had for what was manifest there And being the true servant of Srila Prabhupada as he is, he was very clearly making the connection between Prabhupada's purity and his potency and how he was able to impact his divine mission and his association in the hearts of so many people by such a short visit to Moscow, that that's really deepened very much so my appreciation and gratitude to have, to be very fortunate to have had his association then, and actually to have his association as well today, although unfortunately I hear he's leaving tomorrow, but I'm hoping that maybe he might be somehow inspired to recount some of those things that he spoke of for the benefit of all the devotees here today, which were, as I said, it was such a memorable occasion for all the devotees of the former Soviet Union to hear his remembrances of his time with Prabhupada. Have you done that here yet? In the Moscow? Not so much. No. You did? Devotees are saying no. You spoke, when you were in Moscow, you spoke for a long time, Shyamasundar Prabhu, and you were just like an endless stream. Endless stream of nectar. And I looked at everybody on the stage. Jayapataka Maharaj was there, Lokanath Maharaj was there, and Mukunda Maharaj was there, and you know, everybody was wiping their eyes.
I think what touched me the most, and what I was trying to convey at that time, and which caused everyone this kind of overwhelming emotional response, was the personal bravery and heroism of the early devotees, the early Russian devotees. I heard the stories while I was there of the sacrifices that these young boys and girls went through in the early years, and it was overwhelming to me to see how they not only survived it, but went on to spread Krishna consciousness despite it, and how it had blossomed so much. Yeah. Maybe you can remember some of these stories, because I don't know the stories firsthand like you do.
I remember them, although I certainly wasn't there at the time, but because I came in still during communist times. And I would oftentimes spend a lot of time with the some of the early devotees and glean from them some of their experiences and realizations of what they went through during the communist regime. And especially those devotees who had been imprisoned in labor camps and psychiatric institutions, what they had been subjected to. They were definitely empowered. I was just speaking just the other night, night before last, I was at Vishwarupa Prabhu's home, and they were asking me to speak a little bit about some of the preaching that was going on about book distribution in the 70s, since I was book distributor in the 70s. And I was recounting some of my experiences and realizing as I was speaking that how much Srila Prabhupada empowered devotees. I mean, literally empowered devotees that beyond imagination, that we couldn't imagine the things that we were doing, the sacrifices we were making for pleasing him. And it was a certain era for establishing a footing of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. That, and I was seeing there also that when I was speaking to these devotees who were undergoing very severe austerities, especially the lifestyle in of itself is an austerity. I mean, it's not like you have to look for austerities, especially at this time. Everybody is living very austerely and very austere living conditions, and the economy is so, at that time in the 80s, I don't know, I don't even think you could use the word economy, I don't think there was one, I think it was just everybody was just living hand to mouth and trying to figure out how they could get some food and get a place to live. And that was, of course, the basic lifestyle for everyone. And on top of all of that, the sacrifices the devotee had to make for preaching Krishna consciousness was profound. You know, taking Srila Prabhupada's books and photocopying them, even photocopying, of course, was illegal at that time. You couldn't. These photocopy machines were all under the control of the government, and they had to take risks even to get photocopies made. What to speak of once getting the photocopies made, then they would have to come together, and they would have marathons of taking the pages and stitching them up and binding them all together, making all the books by hand, and then going out into the streets. And this was done in many different places, and many times the devotees didn't even know who the other devotees were. In fact, devotees used to tell me sometimes they would go into the streets and talk to people clandestinely and try to introduce a book. And sometimes they would, in the course of distributing a book, they would meet another devotee. And they didn't know the other devotee was a devotee, and they would try to, come here, I have something to show you. They'd open up the book and start, right? You heard this story? They'd open up the book and start speaking about it, and the other devotee would say, and he would take out from his bag and said, I have one of these books too. I have a whole bag full of them. I'm doing the same thing you are. And many devotees actually shared similar experiences, especially in Moscow, but in many different places. You know, it was Moscow and Leningrad and in Riga. Riga, there were a lot of devotees that came in Riga and Latvia in the early days. They had to, sometimes they had to drive thousands and thousands of kilometers, you know, with a car full of books to move them to another place, and taking also great risk of getting caught. Getting caught meant going to prison. Organizing even a meeting in your home meant that if you organized it, that they were subject to going to prison. And many of the devotees had to go exactly for that reason. As you all know, during the time when they had the Free the Soviet Devotees campaign, there were, I think it's more than 60 devotees at that time were in labor camps and psychiatric institutions. And one devotee, he even recounted, I remember one story, he told me that when he was in prison, it was very difficult because obviously they couldn't eat anything. The only thing they ate was bread. He couldn't eat anything else. So every day it was just bread. And sometimes they used the bread to make beads. In fact, we just recently, we saw those one strand of japa beads. I saw them when I was with Kirti Raj Prabhu in Florida. His wife, Hari Puja, she took out some beads and she showed me the beads the devotees were using to chant at that time, which was made out, they took little pieces of bread and they would carve the old bread and they string them together. And that's how they chanted their rounds in prison. And they would even sacrifice the bread that they were eating to make the beads. To tell you the type of austerities they were undergoing. That was their food, their sustenance. So the devotees were telling me the story that how he was... one time he was preaching to a prison guard. He wanted to preach to the prison guard. And he approached him, and the prison guard was very fearful. He didn't want to hear anything. And the devotee kept on trying to follow him to preach to him. And the prison guard just started to run away. And he asked him, why are you running? Why are you running from me? And the prison guard turned around and told him, he said, "Is this the reason why I'm running? Is this that I see how much conviction you people have. And if I listen to you, I'm afraid I'll be convinced too, and I'll be in jail just like you. So he just left. Didn't want to stay. He was fearful that he would be convinced. Anyways, there are many, many, many stories. I'm sure you can get so many of these devotees together. And I think they recently just did that, actually. Kirtiraj Prabhu visited Moscow for the first time in about 10 years. Just a few weeks ago. And all the old devotees came together and they were all sharing some of their experiences from those difficult years. And somehow I came on the heels of all of those austerities. The austerities I had to undergo during that period of time were extremely minimal in comparison to the austerities that the devotees had undergone prior to my first visit. I was able to, maybe I'll speak a little bit. Shyama Sundar Prabhu was actually requesting me. He says many devotees were approaching him and asking him questions about Russia. And he says, I don't know what to say. He said, I was only there. And he said, but he asked me, why don't you speak? Meaning myself. I'm there, but somehow I don't know how I got there. But I'm there witnessing what is taking place and witnessing at that time also what was taking place during the years just before the fall of communism. And I'll speak a little bit about some of my experiences during that time, and maybe speak a little bit about what's going on today also. But I still would like, if this time, to chant the bhajan. I don't know. You tell me what's the limitation of my presentation. I don't know what the schedule is, and you also have to go to a... You tell me, what should I do? Should I speak about Russia? Should I chant the bhajan and speak about the Holy Name, or should I do both? You tell me, please. Both.
You're on Krishna's time now.
Actually, I came in the late 1980s, not the early 1980s. I was, in fact, the devotees from Russia had gone to India for the first time. And we got the opportunity to meet them. And of course, it was a very, for those of you who were present, it was a very amazing event when the devotees came the first time. It was like a reception I'd never seen before. Especially in Vrindavan, when they arrived in Vrindavan, the kirtan was such an ecstatic kirtan as these 50, 60 devotees came and flower petals flying everywhere from the top of Krishna Balaram Mandir, and the kirtan went on for quite some time. Because it was a very, for all of us who had been witnessed those years of the trials and tribulations that the devotees were going through, to see them able to finally get out of the Soviet Union and to come to see Vrindavan, to see Mayapur, and to see the devotees in the rest of ISKCON that they had never associated with before and only heard a little bit about, that there was an ISKCON out there. For them, it was a very wonderful experience. And for the devotees who were receiving them. So I was there, and there was also one friend of mine, his name is Charlie from America, who was there. He was a wealthy businessman. And he met the devotees, spoke with them. And when he went back to America, we were talking, he was telling me how much he really liked meeting the devotees from the Soviet Union. And he was thinking how nice it would be to see them again. So I said, why don't you go? He says, well, certainly I couldn't go alone. He says, why don't we go together? So at that time, it was still communism. So I was trying to think, how could we go? So I contacted who at that time was in charge of the Free the Soviet Devotees, Kirti Raj Prabhu, who I mentioned his name several times, and I feel that his name should not go unmentioned, and he's literally an unsung hero for the sacrifices he made, both personally and in relationship to his family members. Many years he gave to fight, you know, and to free the Soviet devotees. And so I contacted him, and he said, sure, it would be nice, why don't you go there? So at that time, to go to the Soviet Union was very costly. You had to go as a tourist, and you had to stay in the hotels every night as a tourist. And the hotels cost, in Moscow they cost $190 a night. And you know what those hotel rooms are like. It's like a closet. So he offered to cover the cost of the trip. So we went there on a tour, and during that time, when you were on a tour, you had to be very, very careful, because the tour guides were all KGB agents, and they were trained to observe the activities of everybody on the tour, to watch them, where they were going, what they're doing, their movements, the day, you know, if they were not present, to take note of their absence. And somehow we had to disappear to meet the devotees, which was it was scheduled ahead of time before we went. We scheduled places and times where we would meet. The first time we met was was in Red Square, actually, by the Kremlin. St. Basil's Cathedral, as a matter of fact. I had to meet the devotee right under the sign. He was sitting there waiting for me. And so we arrived in Moscow, we went to the motel room, and then, of course, in Russia at that time, we had to be very careful, because also the hotel rooms, we were warned, don't bring any devotional paraphernalia, don't bring your beads, don't bring your neck beads, don't bring your japa beads, don't bring any books. You have to go completely, you know, as a tourist. And I was just I was a computer consultant or something like that. I can't remember what, something. I was working in computers. And how I presented myself with a tour of about, a group of about maybe 15 people, I think they were on the tour. So, as soon as we arrived, we went. We had to, of course, be a part of the tour. We sit down and eat with everybody. In fact, this became part of a routine. When I had to go on tours many times, and I would sit with the tour group. They would be sitting and eating their meals, and I was eating just strips of carrot and celery in my meals the whole time I was with them. And they'd be looking at me, asking, you know, is there something wrong? Is this all you're eating? I said, I have a bad stomach. I tell them, I must have been in the last strip of celery. It must have been something that didn't agree with my stomach. So they were wondering why that's all I was eating, but that's all I could get in the way of vegetables. It was just celery and carrot strips. But of course, I was eating quite well with the devotees, but they didn't know that. They were thinking, who is this person who's traveling with us? He's been with us for 11 days, and all he's eating is celery and carrots. And I sit there just picking in a celery carrot while they're just eating their meal and talking with them. I had to be at all the meals, so I had to schedule my visits with the devotees in between when they were out on tours, and then just kind of disappear at the pre-scheduled time and go and meet the devotees. And in the hotel rooms also, we had to be very careful that we could never speak, because all the hotel rooms were all, it was known that were all, had microphones. Every room in it has a microphone in it. And they would listen very carefully to all the conversations. So whenever we spoke, anything that was connected, we always spoke in codes. We had this code system that we developed, certain words that we would speak. And I would have to go out to chant my rounds. I used to go out into the subways around. I'd leave around 3:30 in the morning, and just go into the subways and just walk in the subways back and forth in the subway systems. Get on the subways to chant my rounds, because you couldn't do it in the hotel rooms, and I couldn't do it during the programs because as soon as I went to the programs, God forbid I do anything but preach the whole time. They would not tolerate it. that every moment, the programs, the lectures would used to go for about 6-8 hours sometimes, nonstop. We just wouldn't let you stop. The devotees were just very, very eager to hear. And that it's still like that. I mean, that's one of the amazing things about preaching in the former Soviet Union is the intensity of desire the devotees have for hearing. But that time especially, because for them to hear anything that wasn't the party line was divine. And many people had a very difficult time discriminating between what was divine and what was, you know, if it was outside the party line, for many people it's divine. So that was part of our preaching in the early years, was helping them to discriminate between what's divine and what's just outside the party line. We had a few encounters, certainly, with agents. I remember one Janmashtami. I was there, and I had to give a lecture at this devotee's flat. It was supposed to take part in the early evening, and when I got there, the whole building was surrounded by agents. So we thought were agents, we didn't know, but the building was definitely surrounded by people who looked like agents, and they weren't moving. So I couldn't get out, and the devotees couldn't come down either, because then if they came down... So the devotees were up on the 10th floor waiting for me, and I was down in the car. We parked the car across from the building, and we just sat there and just chanted japa for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. They wouldn't go, they wouldn't leave. And this is Janmashtami, and all the devotees, they're just having kirtan upstairs, just, and they're waiting for me to come speak. But finally, I think it was about 10 o'clock, the agents, they left. I guess they got tired of waiting. And we finally went up. We had a program, we had to leave. I had a flight that was leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning with the tour group. And we had to get back to the hotel in time. And when I got back to the hotel, I had this interesting experience with the tour guide. He came up to me when I turned in the key. You know, he wanted to know where I was, obviously, but he didn't say anything. He just came up to me. And he was a very big guy. His name was Anatoly. He took my scarf and started pulling it tighter and tighter and tighter around my neck and looked me right in the eyes. He said, what are you, an anarchist? So I said, I do tend to be a little independent at times. Why do you ask? And he said, don't you know if you wear a purple and black scarf in the Soviet Union, it means you're an anarchist? So I said, no. I didn't know that. And then he got a little tighter. And he said, yes, and don't forget it. And then he just threw the scarf in my face and he walked away. And I was trying to figure out what is this all about. And it's like, obviously I realized that he probably figured out that I was doing something. But he didn't do anything. He somehow, by Krishna's grace, he just let it continue for another 2 days. We went to Leningrad, and I disappeared during the Leningrad visit. I would go for a few times. I would go, and I had a camera around my neck and taking pictures, making it look like I was a tourist, trying to make it look good, and. Then disappear at the pre-scheduled time and meet the devotees. But we always had to meet someplace far away from the hotel because if the agents ever caught us meeting, then the devotees would get caught. They could arrest the devotees. So we had to protect the devotees by always scheduling a place that was far away, and we would go and just disappear and then meet them. In fact, Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj had this experience once that he was getting in the car with his meeting with devotees, and there were two cars there, and Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj met the devotees, got in the car, and they drove away, and the car behind them had devotees in it, and two agents got in the car and said to the devotees, "Follow that car." The agents didn't know it was devotees in the car. So devotees, turning very slowly, turning on the engine, and the agents, slapped them on the back, "Follow that car." The devotees started driving, and Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj turned one way, and the devotees would take the wrong turn, and very interesting how somehow they were able to let him get far enough away, and the agents just said, "Stop the car," and they got out and he went and got another car to try to catch up to them. But by that time they couldn't get them. So it was always trying to avoid the agents and being very careful that you just didn't get caught, because if you were caught, basically it meant that you... I never suspected they would do anything that dangerous, which is probably just asking me to leave. They did catch me on a few occasions, but it seemed that they were more interested in just seeing what we were doing at that time. And they were watching us very closely. And therefore, I had to be very careful to always make my presentations purely Krishna conscious and no Varnashram. You couldn't talk Varnashram or anything social. I had to be very, very careful. Every lecture had to be straight, just Krishna consciousness and no political or social implications whatsoever. And we did that. I did that for a few years, and then all of a sudden, in 1991, I was there at that time when there was the attempted coup, when all the tanks, Kirtiraj Prabhu and myself, were both present in Moscow at that time when they came in with thousands of tanks and thousands of trucks with soldiers. They were moving in on the parliament to take over the parliament. And Kiriraj and I were sitting and talking, and we could hear the grinding of the tanks. What's that sound? And we went out and we saw miles of tanks. And Kiriraj and I at that time, of course, we didn't know, you couldn't hear nothing. You couldn't listen to the radio because you didn't know what was going on. The radio was completely controlled. So we were thinking that this is it, that communism is going to take control again and we're finished. And Kiriraj and I were discussing a strategy of what to do at that time. And he was saying that, I've got a wife and two kids and they're in America. I don't know, I can't stay here. And he was looking to me like, "What do you think, Maharaj?" So I was making plans at that time of how to, I guess, at that point it was how to stay and disappear and go underground. And we talked about it for, I think, about a day. And then the following day the news came out that communism had fallen. And because we went to, actually, during that day, we went to the parliament, not Red Square, it was the parliament. And we were there where all the tanks were in the parliament, and Yeltsin was standing on the tank, and we were speaking to all the soldiers. You were there? what would you do if you were ordered to shoot? And all the soldiers said, "There'll be no such order." We're interrogating all the soldiers to try to find out what was going on. But then the next day everything fell, and then gradually everything came out in the open. And then Krishna consciousness was able to be... I could tell many stories during this time, but I'm trying to be brief. But to give you a little feeling of a sense of what it was like before the fall of communism, and then after communism, things started. It was like an explosion, obviously. It was the second Hare Krishna explosion. And we came in right on the heels of the fall of communism and having some exposure to an association to the West. The devotees immediately took advantage of that and started advertising Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And we were the first people to do any advertising in practically in all of Russia. And Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita poster we put on the sides of all the buses, all had pictures of Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the subway systems, there was posters in the subways, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And nobody else was advertising at the time. Nobody else knew anything. They didn't know anything about advertising, right? Because you saw what the advertising was in the Soviet Union at that time, right? No advertising. Every sign was just a fish store and a milk store and a bread store, and that was it. And all the same letters and advertising. What's that? So we immediately jumped on the heels and we started advertising Prabhupada's books. And at that time, devotees used to set up little book tables, and devotees had this experience of distributing books in 1991-92, and people would literally, so many people would come around the tables to take books that the devotees had to get them to stand in line. They used to tell them. Their preaching was to stand in line and wait to your turn, and there would be like 15 people standing in line in queue, like in different lines coming in to buy Prabhupada's books. And I used to go around from table to table. I didn't speak any Russian at the time at all, so I didn't know what was going on. So I would just go out and sometimes just go from table to table to see how the devotees are distributing it. It was just awesome to see how people were standing in line waiting to buy Prabhupada's books. And or sometimes if the devotee, of course, wasn't strong and aggressive enough, that they would just take over the whole table. You know, there'd be 20 people standing around, and everybody's looking, reading, and the devotees trying to preach to everybody at the same time was impossible. And people just, the rubles were just flying, and the devotees would do hundreds and hundreds of books every day, big books. So we were able to come in and get a lot of books out at that time. Before it was a little bit difficult, because obviously the devotees were distributing clandestinely, and now we could come out and book distribution, it was a wave of book distribution. And some of the letters, and which is still coming, of appreciation. I have in my computer, I have about 500 letters of people have, there's more, that's just a small sample of the things that people were writing about, like, you know, some young boy, 12 years old, writing that, you know, that this is, I've gotten your Bhagavad Gita as it is, and you know, he would describe his lifestyle. I've been living with my mother. My father died when I was 3 years old, and we have no money. And my mother, she had these are all the rubles she had left in her savings, and she got your book, Bhagavad Gita, with all the rubles that she had left in her savings, and I've been reading it, and it's changed our whole family's life. We're all chanting Hare Krishna now, and we want to know how can we actually become more serious and accept a spiritual master. And letters like this of this nature were just pouring in. We couldn't how to. And it was amazing that what Prabhupada's books had done, literally, to transform the whole country. I mean, the whole Soviet Union was literally transformed. And even, in fact, during the communist times, I think was mentioned last time when I was speaking, that it used to be said that the three things the communists were fearful of, which were blue jeans, rock and roll music, and Hare Krishna. They thought that these things had the potential to destroy their control over the people. And literally, Prabhupada's books, you know, is captured the minds of the Soviet people, because they were suppressed for so long, and it's an innate desire to take shelter of something beyond the social structure. They knew the social structure failed tremendously, and they were forbidden to go beyond that structure. And any attempt to go beyond that structure with the slightest suggestion of a divine being, or an attempt to make a visit or to have a discussion about a divine being, was so heavily banned. The devotees used to tell me the stories that in their youth, when they go to school, part of the school, the training is they would see movies about priests getting beheaded, and you know, to make them fearful that this is what happens to you if you try to. That was part of the indoctrination. So it was suppressed for so long that when everything fell, it was like whoosh, the wave. And Prabhupada's books were right there. Right there to on the crest of that wave. And entering into people's lives and changing their hearts, and people wanted to come forward, like, how do I love Krishna? How do I love Krishna? So a lot of books were distributed during those early years. Of course, things changed to some degree in the course of the years. But not as many books, especially the economy had contributed in a significant way. Before, people could afford to buy books, but now people can't even, in many places, people can't even afford to buy bread. So the economy is very, very, in some of the regions, there's like in Moscow or Kiev and some of the major cities, the economy is doing rather well because so many of the foreigners are coming in and investing. But in the more remote cities, it's abject poverty. And the devotees are living like that. Very difficult. Still, living situation is very difficult for many of them. But still, book distribution is going on and the preaching is going on. And our temples, trying to model our bigger temples after the Chaupati model. Radhanath Maharaj and Devamrita Prabhu visited many times, and who is it also? Mother Janava, was it? She also visited to help in Moscow and in Kiev. And some of the bigger temples are now there. They have Moscow, there's about 100 devotees, and Kiev, there's about 100 devotees living in the temple, in each of those temples. But they have. The programs are designed for study. The brahmacharis are all doing study, and they're having progressive levels of studying. Everybody comes in for some. The congregation will come from all over the country. The congregational members will come, and they'll spend. Some of them will spend 3 months in Kiev, for instance, taking a bhakti training course, and then they'll return to their city. They just take time off of work. They're not making any money at work anyways, for many of them. Some people are going to work for 2-3 years and they still haven't been paid yet. And still waiting. And sometimes they get paid with whatever factory that they work in. They may give them something that the factory produces. They'll say, here, like if you work in a tire factory, they'll give you 2 tires at the end of the month, and you go out and you see along this road between Kiev and Chernigov is the big tire factory. And when you come to the end of the month, you'll see there's hundreds of people on both sides, and both they're all standing at different distances apart with 2 tires waiting to sell them so that they can get some money. It's like that in some places. So the economy is... So for them to take 3 months off of work, for them it means nothing. It means they just don't show up and they'll go and they'll study the bhakti training course, and then they return. And then some of them will stay and they'll take more advanced studies in the temple. The temple is actually set up as a Vedic academy with teachers, and it's actually registered in that way as a Vedic academy. So many people are coming and they're learning in our temples, and the devotees are going out and they're preaching to the congregation in all the respective temples throughout Ukraine. In Ukraine we have about 12 temples, and we have about 70-80 namhattas in Ukraine. And whenever I visit any of these places, as Radhanath Maharaj says, the morning program is quite well attended. The Krihastas, they'll all come for the morning program. And for the evening program, usually Bhagavad Gita classes, oftentimes 250 devotees, maybe, for Bhagavad Gita classes, 300 devotees. Sometimes in Moscow, you'll even get 400-500 devotees for the evening lectures. And Bhagavatam classes, they'll be quite well attended, as Maharaj explained. They're all very eager to hear. And the devotees go out during the week, and they're preaching to the. They have training programs for the congregation. In some of the smaller cities, usually, their Namhatha preaching consists of maybe 80 to 100 devotees for each of those smaller centers. And then the Namhattas, of course, are broken down into smaller Namhattas. And it is developing very nicely. And the training is going on, and the devotees are very eager to hear, as we said. We have a festival just last year in South Russia. We have a festival every year. It's like a Mayapur festival, but many devotees can't go to Mayapur. They can't afford to go to Mayapur. So we have a festival there. We have one festival in Russia, another one in Ukraine, another one in Siberia. We had one last year, and another one in the Baltic Republics. In South Russia, the festival was attended by 2,500 devotees. They come for 7 days, and we have class in the morning in kirtans. Sometimes kirtans go pretty long in the morning. And then we have throughout the day visiting speakers who lecture at different places. Seminars are going on and lectures. And in the evenings we have some cultural programs sometimes, but kirtan. Devotees have a very strong attraction for kirtan. We have kirtan for many hours into the night, usually sometimes 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. The kirtan. They're very famous there. If you try to stop kirtan, then everybody simultaneously will just start chanting, kirtan, kirtan, kirtan. They won't let you stop. So even though it's been 3 hours and you have no voice, you know, it's just, kirtan, kirtan.
Do they have Ratha Yatra?
We have Ratha Yatras, but Ratha Yatras have been a little less. We've been a little bit. But the government's have been a little bit more restrictive in our public festivals in some places. But we do have Ratha Yatras in some places, and very well attended. Yeah. A lot of devotees come, and usually a lot of people will observe the festival, get Lord Jagannath's mercy. But they're a little bit less than they had been in the earlier part of the 90s. So these festivals go on every year in different places, and the devotees are, as we said, for those of you who have been there, the preaching is still expanding, but we're trying to place the emphasis, just as Prabhupada at one point said, now it's time to boil the milk. And although it's expanding, we're trying to give more emphasis to proper training and education, and especially training of Vaishnava principles. And we're very much dependent upon the visitation of such great saintly devotees as Radhanath Maharaj, who's been very kind and comes and visits every year to teach by his own example what saintly qualities are. And I think the devotees will refuse if any of you are upset that Maharaj is here a little bit less. It's because the devotees will just not take no for an answer when it comes to his visits to the Moscow and to Kiev. That he has to go, and I think he feels very much drawn by their affection, and I think he also feels very duty bound in that respect to go and to bless all the devotees with his saintly association. And many other wonderful Vaishnavas are coming. As we said, Shyama Sundar Prabhu was there in 1996, and just today we've invited Shyama Sundar to please come again. We're always eager for his association, and devotees, they're ready for your association whenever you wish to come. And this is a little bit about preaching in Russia. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. So, what?
Maybe what you've done is such a nice job. I don't know if it's necessary to go back. But one of the questions that I had in my mind is that if you knew of any of the specific examples from the earliest times of the deprivation that certain devotees went through in the prison camps and those things. I heard stories where devotees were actually killed.
Died. Not killed, but died. Yeah. Devotees died from deprivation. Named one devotee, Sachi Sutta. he left his body. He was just no food. He died from, I think, malnutrition, and he also had another disease he contracted and died in a labor camp in Georgia. And of course there's the story of, also well-known story of Premavati, who lost her daughter. She gave birth while she was in a prison camp, and her daughter was separated from her immediately, and daughter died in the prison camp. And other devotees I don't know of deaths. Those are the only deaths that I know. There was attempts in the sense that certainly there some devotees were given injections that made them so dull that, you know, they couldn't think, they couldn't do anything. A lot of devotees suffered from that, from injections, but they didn't die. And you know, deprivation mostly took place in the labor camps. They had to work and they didn't have sufficient food for eating. And of course the other problem was just the fear factor, which the devotees somehow, you know, when I went there my first visit, I could see that these devotees really, their favorite bhajan was Bhaja Huremana. Everybody knew that bhajan. Bhaja Huremana. Because it was, you know, they were meditating. One meditates in the lotus feet of divine son of Nandan and one will become fearless. So they would always chant that bhajan. Any gathering, that was the bhajan they would all chant together. And it gave them strength in how to be fearless in the face of adversity. And risk. They were risking their lives. I was not risking my life, really, so much. I mean, I never found out what they would have done. I mean, they did catch me and they didn't do anything. So maybe it was just the right person. I don't know. But somebody who was a little sympathetic. I remember one time, actually. This is a little funny story, actually. In the tour group, there was always a representative from America who was the liaison with the tour group leader in Russia. And he would first meet him. He would get to meet everybody on the tour. And then he would come, and then he would meet with the tour guide from Russia, and he would liaise, you know, our group with his. So I arrived in Moscow, and I was always a little wary about, you know, this person, because he was more close than the actual Russian tour guide. So, and he was monitoring everything, basically. So when I arrived there, I had to go and I had to call the devotees to schedule a meeting. And I went off some distance to find a phone. And I had to find, of course, some kopecks, which is to make a phone call. And I didn't have any. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no kopecks. I had to make a phone call. And the devotees were waiting me to call. So I turned to the man in the next booth. And I tried to somehow indicate to him, you know, to give me some kopecks to make a phone call. And the man at the booth was our Western tour guide. He was making a phone call. And I said, oh, no. I thought, this is it. You know, this is my first trip. So I didn't know what to expect. So he said to me, who are you calling? So I said, who are you calling? I didn't know what to do. So he said, who are you calling? And I just turned around again and said, well, who are you calling? I just didn't want to answer him. He said, I'm calling somebody I know. And I said, and then as it turned out, that he was a Jewish man. And he was coming, he was a tour guide in America, and he was coming for the same reason that I was coming. A and he was calling his Jewish contacts in Moscow. So I said, well, look, I'm Hare Krishna. And I need some kopecks to make a phone call. Can you help me? So he gave me some kopecks. Anyways, I don't know what you said that's made me think of that story. But so
it's been, it sort of fits in with some of the stories I've been telling this past week about how when you risk everything for Krishna, take that kind of risk to spread Prabhupada's word, you get to see Krishna remove obstacles. He personally comes in and does things like that. It happens a lot.
It's amazing.
Yeah. You get the magic. You get to see Krishna's magic show. Is that a fact or not?
It's a fact. I was just always astonished to be the, how fortunate I was to be the observer of Krishna's magic show. I try to figure out what pious credits did I possibly perform in a previous life to observe Krishna's magic show as I saw these things. You know, just like, and even when I first got there, I used to give the example. The devotees used to ask me, how's the preaching, you know? And when I first got there, because the devotees had such a tense desire, we'd sit in a room, you know, the size of, you know, maybe this little bit bigger than the altar, 100 of us, for 6-8 hours, we'd just sit there. Or sometimes we met in the forest. We had to go in the forest, and the devotees would go in a meeting place in the forest. We spread out plastic to tie them from the trees and get under the plastic so when it started to rain, we could have our meetings in the forest. And all we had was like a little picture of Prabhupada. You know, that was our altar. And, you know, no books, nothing. And I would just, you know. So we would sit, and it was, we packed together. And then when it came time for prasadam, you know, what do? You're still packed, 100 people in the same place. We can't go out. So devotees would come out of the kitchen with these plates, and they just sit there, you know, for eating prasadam with their legs right up in their chest like this. You know. And then after prasadam, they would all go into the toilet because it's the only place to wash. The sink is, the bathroom is like the size of a tiny closet. And they wash their plates, and then we go back and squeeze into the room for another 3 more hours of lecture. And that's how it was like. So I used to give the example that what I felt like is that that these people had such an intense desire to hear about Krishna. Such desire was so strong that Krishna was reciprocating with the desire, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and I felt like I was getting caught in the crossfire. You know, sometimes, you know, like that, I guess that happened in the Indian parliament, like one gardener got caught in the crossfire. But I felt like this was taking place, that, you know, that Krishna is reciprocating, and I'm here, I am, and I'm just getting caught in the crossfire, and I'm just speaking, and then such an intense desire to hear, and then we just go from one city to the next, and it was just like that. Every place I went. Gradually, we didn't have the laws became a little bit slack. And you were actually able to visit the Soviet Union. It had to still go through INTOURIST, which was the KGB agency, but you could travel you could tour independently. They introduced that somewhere in the late 90s. So fortunately, because I had this, my friend, he went with me many times, and he actually sponsored every one of my trips, and those trips cost, each one of them cost over $5,000 just to go, and because I had to pay to get picked up at the airport, you had to pay for the stay in the hotel rooms, you had to pay, everything was, so he sponsored all those trips for me for those early years. Is this Maharaj? Hare Krishna Maharaj. You want to introduce Maharaj? Right in, come sit down.
Let us welcome His Holiness Prahladananda Swami Maharaj.
Did you want to add a little thing about from your visits with Russia and with Prabhupada, 71?
I think the only place where I feel the same sort of large scale nectar in the presence of so many devotees is here in Bombay. I get the same feeling here as I did in Moscow. Thousands of such eager, young, brilliant people waiting to hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna. I'm looking forward very much to going back to Russia soon. In the summer, though, not in the winter.
That's okay. Summer is when our festivals are. You will come in the summer. You should come in August to Ukraine to our festival in Odessa. There'll be about 1,500 devotees there.
I'll come.
Prahladananda Maharaj comes to that festival.
Yeah.
There every year.
Ah.
Yes. Giving his saintly association to the devotees. So, Maharaj, what should we do? Bhajan? Yes? So we can chant one bhajan? All right. We're going to chant bhajan titled Keno Hare Krishna Nam. And thank you. Maybe we can first we'll read it, and then maybe all devotees, Maharajas present, might like to speak a little bit about this wonderful bhajan. It's about the holy name. It's very, when you hear this bhajan and the meaning of this bhajan, you really get a sense of importance, how important the holy name is in the life of a devotee. Sometimes, if we're not careful, I was appreciating this morning, every time I come, whenever the Maharaj or somebody chants the Hare Krishna mantra out loud in a class, I always hear this roaring, tremendous uproar of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Yes, that's what I hear. I heard it this morning, I heard it yesterday morning at the hospital, every time the Mahamantra. If these devotees know the importance of the Maha Mantra, I'm thinking, how can I speak about the importance of the Maha Mantra? You know better than me the importance of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, how important it is for the life of a devotee. It is our life. It's our connection. It's our connection with our spiritual master. It's our connection with Krishna. Everything is based upon our chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And even there's a wonderful verse I was reading recently in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It explains that one has to learn about the beauty and the transcendental position of Krishna's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There is no other way to hear the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. This verse was spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami when he was giving an account of Lord Chaitanya's reading the verse which was composed by Rupa Goswami, when he wrote that verse that how much nectar there is in the syllables Krishna. Lord Chaitanya took the book and he read it out loud, and when Haridas Thakur heard Lord Chaitanya reading the verse, Haridas Thakur felt such ecstasy hearing that verse, the glories of the holy name. And Krishnadas Kaviraj cited this verse that this is how one can actually understand and hear and taste the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. then one has to hear the glories of the holy name of the Lord from the mouths, reveal scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. Then, the more one hears the glories of the holy name of the Lord, the more it molds one's proper conception of the holy name of the Lord, and the more one can actually chant with the proper attitude and feeling. When a devotee is chanting Hare Krishna, he has to chant with feeling. Because our chanting, we should be very careful, it's not something mechanical. I was talking with a devotee coming in today, we were talking about this point, that Rupa Goswami explains that bhakti is not a mechanical process. Right? It's not that one can expect to engage in a mechanical process and get bhav, or spiritual emotions. Because if it's mechanical, it means that bhakti is not eternal. Because how could something which is eternal be generated by something mechanical which is temporary? It's not possible. Bhakti is eternal. And Rupa Goswami explains this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He explains, he talks about sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bhinda nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakrityam hridi is it sadhyata that when transcendental loving service to Krishna, by which love of Krishna is attained, is executed with the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living being. The awakening of this devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. Rupa Goswami explains, it is there, eternally situated within the heart. So bhakti is eternal. It doesn't have any material origin. It can't be generated by some mechanical process. It's there, but it has to be awakened. What is it that awakens that bhakti? Of course, it's the association of devotees. If one associates with devotees and gets to hear about Krishna, gets to hear about the glories of the holy name and the association of devotees, and it awakens that desire to chant. But then when we're chanting, what are we hearing? Right? Rupa Goswami says, how much nectar there is in these syllables, Krishna. Right? We should be experiencing this nectar, but if we're not, then are we actually hearing the holy name? So therefore, it is explained that if we actually want to taste the sweetness of the holy name of the Lord, one actually has to hear, to learn about the beauty and the transcendental position of the Lord's holy name. By hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of the devotees. There is no other way to hear of the sweetness of the Lord's. In this bhajan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this sweetness of the holy name. And he's lamenting. He said, why is it that I can't chant? Why is it that I can't taste the sweetness of this holy name? He's lamenting in this way that, of course, this is part of to lament means to hanker for this taste. Right? Because the more we hanker for it, the more we execute our devotional service with that mood of hankering, then that's what awakens bhakti within the heart. Because that's no longer, it's not mechanical anymore. When that attitude is there, it's not mechanical. When the attitude is there, that desire which is eternal within the heart becomes awakened, and then more, as I want more. I want to make advancement. I want to taste this holy name. Lord Chaitanya has come to give us this pure holy name and to taste it, because by tasting it, then we can also distribute as well this pure taste of the holy name of the Lord. So, we have to hear in this way. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this bhajan, very nicely explaining the attitude and what happens if we don't realize the importance of the holy name in this life. So we'll read the translation. He says, oh, why does my heart not weep from chanting the names Hare Krishna? The bird of my heart does not know what past sinful activities it has committed to cause this inability to chant Hare Krishna. Oh, forest bird, I have kept something for you very carefully within the cottage of my heart. The holy name of Lord Hari, which is overflowing with pure, sweet honey. O bird, you could learn the chanting of this name if you were taught. A bird is easily able to speak all names. Why then does this bird of my heart refuse to chant Hare Krishna? Oh, why does my heart not weep from chanting the holy names Hare Krishna? Oh, bird, come, let us go to the spiritual world, the land of true and everlasting beauty. It is the place where the imaginary man of my mind will never again come and go on the revolving cycle of birth and death. O bird, at the time of death, your body will simply be placed upon a funeral stretcher, lifted on the shoulders of four persons, and carried to the cremation grounds. Alas, the cremation fire will then enter your mouth and totally consume your tongue. There will be nothing you can do to save yourself, for at that time, it is too late. You will be unable to speak anymore. Hare Krishna. So, importance chanting Hare Krishna is being stressed here. We should not waste our moments, any moment. So we can chant, and then maybe others may speak a little bit. Which one is the bass one?
Hare Krishna naam bolo na,
Bhakti Janika Aparare Mukhyari Krishna Varana Vanya Pakire Dare Rakram Hidday Mandare Dare Rakram Hidday Mandare Vanya Pakire Dare Rakram Hidday Mandare Madhumakaye Harina Madhumakaye Harina Madhumakaye Harina Patire Sikare Madhumakaye Harina Pakire Sikare Sike Madhumakaye Harina Pakire Sikare Sike Pako Sako Naam Bhakte Paro Paki sakana bote baro Keno Hare Krishna naam bodona Keno Hare Krishna naam Hari Gode Manav Pran Kanjena Keno Hare Krishna Hari Gode Manav Pran Kanjena Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Chalo paki rete fete se jai. Chalo paki rupe de se jai. Chalo paki rupe de se jai. Jai de se te mane manu. Ye deshe te mane manu, asa jao ya na, ye deshe te mane manu, asa jao ya na. Paki re to madana kale te. Paki re to madana kale te. Sharabi vasedana te. Chadaviva sedanate. Ore chajanete kande kore. Ore chajanete kande kore. Ore Laye jabesh masangante te. Ori charane te kande kore. Laye jabesh masangate te. Smasangate te, ore otam ke raguna jive tu de, ore otam ke raguna jive tu de, tikrobita hi bolona. Ore otamuke aguna jive tule kikarove tae bodana. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna
Maybe if I sit like this for a few minutes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare
Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Hi.
soul, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Nithai Gaur Bhimanandi Vansha Kalpata Dubyascha Kripa Sindubya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananti Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Naranjan Swami Maharaj Ki Shri Prahlad Ananda Swami Maharaj Ki Shri Samsundar Prabhu Ki Nithai Govimhanandi
Oma Ganadvanandas Ya Ganandana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam.
So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj asked me to speak for 5 minutes. Since I don't have much to say, it makes it very easy. What little realization I have, it's very nice. This is the first time I've seen the Astashakis on the altar here. So I was thinking during the kirtan that ultimately, because Krishna is pleased by the kirtan, because he himself started it, and because Srimati Radharani and the Astashakis are also pleased by the kirtan, and because their followers through the disciple succession are also pleased, that's why the kirtan is so blissful. That our whole aim is to please Krishna, and one of the problems of being in material existence, I guess the main problem, is that we don't know Krishna. And since we don't know Krishna, we're really not so sure exactly what kind of person he is. Exactly what kind of person created this material world, where there is so much suffering, so much confusion, so many problems, and it seems to get worse every day. Not here, but outside of here. So what kind of person created this and can stand on the altar and just play on his flute all the time? See, always seems to be smiling, but you don't know quite what he's smiling about. And his girlfriend is right next to him, and she's smiling too. And we're not quite sure what she's smiling about, although it might be... Anyhow. So we have to find out what they're smiling about. That's called Harinam Sankirtan. Then we can actually find out that Krishna is actually a nice person. Then from there we can find out that he is an unlimitedly nice person. But first we have to become convinced that he's actually a nice person, that he's not the person who's responsible for either our own problems or for anyone else's problems. So when we become convinced about that, when we can become convinced that whatever Lord Krishna does or his bona fide representatives are actually simply for our benefit, Vasakahe Suridavis Jai Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hai. That real faith means that we are confident that if we put our energy, and the only energy we really have, although we may think we have many energies, the only energy we have is the tendency to love Krishna. The tendency to love, when we put our tendency to love back into Krishna, rather into some illusory conception, and when we actually experience that when we are confident that that's the right place to put our loving propensity, that's called faith. So that faith has to be developed. If we can find a little loving propensity and try to put a little of our loving propensity in Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. And then we develop confidence that this is the right place to put that loving propensity. So that loving propensity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is manifested in this age. Principally is the chanting of the holy name. Lovingly asking Krishna, O my Lord, O the energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service. So the more we develop faith in Lord Krishna, the more we develop faith in his devotees, headed by Srimati Radharani, that actually I do want to engage in your loving service, then the more Krishna will reciprocate with us and immediately engage us in his loving service. And then we can actually experience what happiness means, what real knowledge means, and what it means to develop something eternally. Other than that, all you do is have to read the newspapers, which I don't advise. But to see that there is no hope for this material world, the only hope is Krishna consciousness, and that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and by the mercy of Kali, who is one of the presiding deities in this age, I think we'll all become convinced very quickly to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki, Bhur Premanande Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. So I'm very sad to have to say that I'm leaving you all tomorrow. And I wanted to thank you all so much, Divine Grace, Radhanath Goswami, for inviting me here, all my senior god brothers for helping me water my little tiny devotional creeper a little bit. I hope that I've been able to plant some little seed behind of how you wonderful and responsible people of Bombay can utilize this opportunity by being this town to propagate more actively Krishna consciousness throughout India and throughout the world through your media and your communications networks, the money potential that's in this town. Prabhupada always recommended Bombay as the center for spreading Krishna consciousness throughout India. I just wanted to remind you all of that. I hope I have in some small way. And I'd like to especially thank Krishna Chandra Maharaj, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, and Srinathji for kindly putting up with me. And Madhavendra Puri Prabhu for rubbing every night the Navratna, this rather foul smelling Navratna oil in my head. Supposed to improve the memory, it says right on the box. I don't know if it's worked. And especially all the bright-faced and wonderful young and old devotees of Krishna. Thank you so much. I hope to see you all again soon. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada.
I'm in the hospital getting checked. Gotta get some more tests done. My blood pressure.